Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be back in church. Yeah. Yeah, good to have Lori back. Woo! Praise the Lord. Woo! Yep. Good applause. Welcome those online also. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out with singing "That's What We Came Here For." We come into your presence with singing, come into your presence with praise, and into your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. We come into your presence with singing, come into your presence with praise, and into your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Everything within me reaches out to you. Your power and majesty, grace and mercy too. They'll be singing and dancing, hearts and voices raised. You have set your people free. Now the house is filled with praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Amen.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus.
there I lay my sins and sorrow. And when weary find his rest, sitting at the feet of Jesus, there bless me, O my Father, bless me, all my inner life renew. Now look down in love upon me, let me catch a glimpse of you. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy through his word. May I prove I've been Jesus, then with him my risen Lord. Amen. Oh. We praise thee, O God, for thy Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know there was one pick of hymn in the back there, but I can't remember what it was. If you put it on the screen, I'll remember. Have faith in God, 536. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word, and be patient. Have faith in God, he'll answer yet. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him. And leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God through all else fail about you. Have faith in God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, he reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Frank, what was yours? You mentioned one. 503. All right. Since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, yeah, yeah, it should be on screen. Yeah, yeah. Since Jesus came into my heart. Yup. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy over my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more? Any others? No? All right. Oh, you want to do Fly Away? Okay, we can do Fly Away. I'll Fly Away. Is it in the 700s? 779? Cool, thanks. Cool, 779, I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, your glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, your glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away. And praise the Lord.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us tonight as well. Good to see each and every one of you. How about the rain? Amen. Praise the Lord for the rain. We can praise Him for the rain. Amen. Send more, Lord Jesus, please. Of course, Sissy, you got how many inches? 5 1/4. We got some big rain at my house, but I don't think we got 5 1/4. You got 4? All right, I've been hearing big numbers. All right. How many did you get any?
The other day I had a little over 3, but today I'm not real sure, but it came down.
Oh, wow, okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else big numbers? Big numbers rain? Big numbers? All right. Well, we keep praying for Oh, wow. My grass was so high.
How high is your grass?
Tuesday night.
What was your grass now?
It was on water, moisture, and soil temperature. No, I looked at my Monday night that rain came through, wasn't it? I looked at my grass Tuesday morning, and I'm telling you, that grass grew 1.5 inches. I'm not exaggerating. That grass shot up overnight. I cut it back yesterday evening, but praise the Lord for the rain. Amen. What else? Lori's back. That's a praise. Amen.
Amen.
Way to go, Miss Lori. What else? Any other praises? Yes, ma'am.
Well, Maddie got her clinical rotations for this semester, and I am so happy because they're all in the Woodlands.
All right.
She got Texas Children's, the Woodlands, for her pediatric, and she got Methodist Woodlands for her OB.
All right.
And a lot of the people got Pasadena.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Ooh, that'd be a haul.
So when you think about 12-hour shifts, getting off at 8 o'clock and driving all the way back home, doing that 3 days in a row.
Whoo, man. Yeah, good for her. Amen. That's a godsend.
Amen.
All right. Clinical rotations in the Woodlands. That's a big praise. All right, Miss Maddie. What else? Other praises? Yeah, Bobby's got one in the back. Making John run. Man. Oh, John threw his back out trying to get the mic to him.
I got 3 grandbabies over in Awanus.
All right. Way to go.
And I'm going to go pick them up every Wednesday night and bring them.
All right, where'd it go, Grandpa?
And they live in Conroe.
All right. Way to go, man.
Yeah, I think there's 13 or 14 kids over there.
Yeah, it's a good first night. It'll build.
Yes.
Before too long, they'll have 30 over there. They'll be recruiting over here for more people to help. You just watch. Amen, amen. Any other praises? All right, prayer requests. Miss Jackie McBride is sick, so we won't pray for her. Amen. So she got the sore throat and the fever. So, yeah, maybe the COVID, maybe not. She's going to get a test here, figure it all out. So she's laying low and staying home. That's where we want her. Amen?
Yep.
All right. Very good. Other prayer needs. Yes, ma'am, Miss Alita.
I'd like to pray for Ann Redmond, his daughter, Jennifer. She went into labor late last night. She was a month early.
Oh, okay.
And so she ended up in the birthing center. That's where they had her registered. And so she had her baby at 12:45 this morning. The baby's doing fine. It's at a good weight right now.
Yeah.
And so they're back home already.
Okay.
And they're having a nurse come out, I think Ann said maybe once a day, hopefully, to come and check on the baby and make sure that it's okay because of, you know, the early
birth. Already sent the family home?
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's more natural. I don't know how that works or if it was
Was
it
a baby girl, baby boy?
Girl.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to lift Jennifer
All right.
Moody up in prayer.
Jennifer and the baby girl?
Jennifer is the mom, yeah, and the baby.
Okay. All right. Very good. Other prayer needs? Anybody else? All right, we got one right there.
For Miss Terry.
Yes.
And I had a liver biopsy about a week ago just to pray for the results on it.
Amen. Yeah.
They didn't take anything out of here, did they?
No. I can't. I'll take something out of yours, though.
Terry Ukraine, the biopsy. All right. What else? Anything else?
Pray for our unspokens.
Unspokens?
Our shut-ins.
Pray for Vince. Amen, amen. Yeah, he's home with his mother-in-law. Yeah. All right.
Pray for our government, too, as they attempt to spend more of our money.
Yes. What are they spending it on this time, Brother John?
$10,000 to $20,000 per year for student loans.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to cost us around $600 million or $600 billion. I can't remember the number, but they said
probably a billion.
They said approximately 43 million student loans are outstanding, even though it is currently on a delay of paying the loans back
right.
because of Corbyn. But
President's
promise that he made for the campaign, he's trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, man,
it.
He's trying to. He's fishing for votes for the next election. Uh-huh.
He's buying
votes for the next election. There it is. All right. $600 billion. Pray for the government.
And let's pray for those soldiers that got hurt in Syria.
Yes.
I understand there was a bombing there that I'm not sure what countermeasures the United States has taken yet.
Okay.
Of course, let's pray for Ukraine. I understand a train was bombed recently.
Yeah, a train station. I think 22 died. 22 were killed.
Yeah, quite a few deaths there.
Ukraine train station. 22 killed. And then all the flood victims in Dallas.
Sold.
Flood victims in Mississippi.
Well, I guess that flood moved over to Mississippi now and heading toward Alabama.
Right.
So,
saw in the news a family had lost their home to fire and had just purchased this home in Mississippi, just moved in, and it flooded. So they're at two homes in like 60 days, 30 days, something like that. So, but anyway. All right, anything else?
I have one more praise.
Yes, ma'am. Praise.
I would just like to say that I'm excited the chili cook-off is back on.
Woo!
Yes. I have missed it.
Yeah. Now you'll have a big decision to make next year if you don't bring as much money in as you did by not having the chili cook-off.
Put the pressure on us, Eric.
Oh, I'm putting it on her, man. Oh, man.
Well, it's great to be able to get back to the norm.
Yeah, amen.
Get the community involved.
That's right.
Which means outreach on for ours to reach out to them.
Amen, brother. That'll be a good time. Chili cook-off in February. All right, very good. Outstanding. All right, anything else? All right. Anybody? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for all that you give to us, Lord, how you bless us. We are certainly thankful tonight of our salvation, and we thank you. We want to thank you daily for that, Lord, and sometimes several times a day for how you've delivered us from sin, death, and hell, the penalty of sin, and, Lord, the ultimate eternal death we get to walk away from and spend eternity with you in heaven. So we thank you and praise you for that tonight. We are thankful for the rain, Lord, that you have sent our way and to the state of Texas. Lord, we're praying for the people in Dallas that have received too much of it and the folks in Mississippi that have received too much of it. We pray that you help them now with the cleanup efforts. But Lord, we pray that that old moisture would just continue to come further south and as it fills up the streams and the creeks and the rivers. And Lord, we look forward to getting those rivers full down here as that water runs south from there. So, Lord, we're thankful for the rain that you've sent to us. We're glad that Lori's back with us, Lord. We give you praise for her healing. And, Lord, we pray she not have any kind of a relapse or, Lord, get anything else, any kind of virus or anything like that, a bacterial infection in the coming days, weeks, and months. Just watch over her. Lord, we give you praise for Maddie's clinical rotations, being so close to home. What a great blessing that is. And Lord, we pray you just keep her safe as she goes to these different places to do her rotations. Well, Lord, we're thankful for the location of them. And Lord, we're thankful and we praise you for Bobby's grandkids and his willingness to go to Conroe each and every week to pick them up, bring them to church. And Lord, we pray that they would learn much at Awana's. And Lord, just be have opportunity to receive you as their personal Savior, Lord, and just grow in the fear and the admonition of the Word. So, Lord, we're thankful for grandkids. We're thankful that we can bring them to church. And, Lord, we just pray that you get the glory for all of that. We are looking forward, Lord, to getting back to normal with all of the activities and gatherings and fellowships, Lord. So we just thank you for Chili Cook-Off and all of those things that go with it. And, Father God, we pray it'd be a great outreach this coming February. If we're all still here, we just pray that that be a great outreach for the church and be a blessing to the community and raise a great amount of funds for the school. So, Lord, we give you praise for that. Lift up Miss Jackie to you tonight. We pray for her sickness. Pray that you would touch her body, bring healing to her, Lord. Give her rest this week. We pray that old fever would break and that old sore throat would go away. And, Lord, if she does have the COVID, we just pray you bring her through it. Get her past it, Lord, and just let her have some good antibodies so she won't catch that variant again. We lift up Ann, daughter Jennifer, and baby girl. Lord, we're just thankful for that birth, and we just pray for mom and baby. And, Lord, we just pray you watch over them as they are already home and that little girl would just continue to grow from here as you've brought her into the world, and we're thankful for her. And then, Lord, we lift up our sisters, Terry, and Lord, we pray for her in Ukraine, in Samaritan's Purse. And, Lord, we just we pray that you put a hedge of protection around her and watch over her, Lord, and help her and protect her and just help her get through these next 6 weeks of ministry over there in that undisclosed location. But, Lord, we pray you keep them safe and watch over them. Lord, we lift up our unspokens to you tonight, Lord. God, as we mention these, we just want to silently pray them to you. And, Lord, we're thankful that you hear us as we think about these unspokens. And, Lord, as we lay them down at your feet tonight, we just pray that you receive them from us, Lord. And Father God, we just praise you that you're sovereign and in control. And so, Lord, thank you that we can continually bring these unspoken requests to you each and every week. We pray for Vince. And, Lord, we pray that you help him in the absence of his wife as he cares for his mother-in-law there at her house. And, Lord, just keep her safe and help Vince keep up with everything there for the next 6 weeks. And then, Lord, we lift up our government. We pray for fiscal responsibility, Lord. We pray for reduced debt somehow, some way. Lord, as money goes out to help Ukraine and money is promised to these college students and this program here and that program there, Lord, there's just not enough money in the barrel to pay for it all. So, Lord, we're praying for fiscal responsibility, and we're praying that tax dollars would be used wisely. And so, Father God, we just ask for your help in that situation. Be with our government. Be with our president. Be with the House. Be with the Senate. Lord, watch over them. Lead, God, and direct them as they carry on the affairs of this nation. Lord, we do lift up the soldiers that are hurt in Syria, our American soldiers, Lord, going after these Iranian militias there in Syria. Lord, we pray that there be no more loss of life there on our side, and that, Lord, those that are injured would get the care and the help that they need. We continue to pray for Ukraine. And, Lord, we pray that you might intervene in that situation and bring an end to the conflict there. We're praying for the families that have lost loved ones in this train attack at the train station, 22 dead. And, Lord, we just pray that you comfort them and help them and see them through. And then, Lord, these flood victims in Mississippi and in Dallas, we've already mentioned. Lord, we just pray that you would help them put their lives together. And, Lord, just get through this difficult time that they find themselves in. And, Lord, as has been on the news the last several days, we continue to pray for this school district down here in Uvalde. We pray for them as they get ready to go back to school. And, Lord, we pray for those folks as they are upset with the law enforcement. They're upset with the ISD police chief. They want him gone, and so many others. Lord, we pray in the midst of their hurt and in the midst of their pain and in the midst of their loss that there would be some justice for those families somehow, some way. There may be some police officers that lose their jobs over this, but, Lord, we pray that you would do what's right, and, Lord, you would take care of that situation down there. Be with those families as they struggle. Father God, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray as we get in it that you open our minds and help us receive it. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor that is due your name. And everybody said? All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 22. We'll begin reading here in verse 13. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God. 22, we're at the last section, the last few verses in Revelation 22, beginning in verse 13, and we'll take it through verse 21, and then we've already had one Bible study on this section. Pardon the cough tonight, and still hadn't quite got over that, but I think we'll have this one tonight. We're going to have another one Sunday night, and probably one more next Wednesday, and that'll just about do the balance of this section of Scripture, Revelation 22, 13 through 21. Have you found it? Got it? Everybody got it tonight? Say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, "And I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming quickly.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, what were we talking about when we were last here on Sunday evening? We were talking about the last invitation. Verse 17 is the key verse to all of this, right? And we kind of ended that Bible study saying, asking the question, so how has the church, or we as Christians, we ask this question, how have we been accurately described in the Bible in regards to Jesus' second coming? We said believers are, in the words of Paul, are those who have loved his appearing per 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. So our proper testimony then is a harmonious desire for the imminent return of Christ. We closed it out by talking about how once a saved person understands the Scripture, how then can they claim to love Jesus Christ and not long for His return? And you know, when you're in your 80s, it's easy to long for Jesus' return. You know, when you're pushing 70, you can kind of long for Jesus' return. When you're in your 50s and you realize you ain't got enough to retire, Jesus, come on back, amen, right? But when you're in your 40s, your 30s, your 20s, you're thinking, man, I don't know, Jesus come back now? Yeah, friend. We all should be longing for His return. Each and every day, you should start the day. Come back. We're praying that you come back. Amen. Maddie's clinicals be a thing of the past. Jesus come back. Amen. We would all have what? Perfect bodies. We would all be where? Amen. In the presence of Jesus. Because we're what? We get the ticket out. We get the punch, rapture, gone. Woo! Amen? So if He comes back, if He starts the process of coming back, we gone. Out. See ya. Amen? So, I mean, it's not a bad proposition. It's a great proposition. You'll never be more fulfilled, never be more happy, never be at more peace than in the presence of your wonderful Lord and Savior, face to face, eye to eye. I'm telling you. You say, what about all the grandkids and the birthdays and the this and the that? Friend, it's all going to shake out. I'm telling you, you want to be with Christ. You want to be with Christ. Amen? The church will never be satisfied until it is presented to God in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless, per Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. The text, as we were closing it out, the text does not specify why the Spirit especially desires, I'm talking about verse 17, why the Spirit especially desires Jesus to return, but the rest of Scripture suggests both a negative and a positive reason. And we covered those. Just to summarize that, negatively, why the Spirit, verse 17, the Spirit and Bride say come, why the Holy Spirit wants Jesus to come back for some negative reasons are that men and women throughout history have continually rejected, ignored, and denied Christ. I mean, think about all the services you've been to, all the church camps you've been to, all the this or that you've been to where an invitation was given and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was on the place, in the room, stirring hearts. And yet nobody came. Nobody walked. Nobody surrendered. Nobody broke. Nobody obeyed. They thought they would put it off. They thought they would deny the Holy Spirit. They thought they would, well, that's grieving the Spirit, right? He's a person. He has a will, mind, and emotions. You know, a couple thousand years of that, you kind of get tired of that, right? You're ready for that to be over. So negatively, men and women throughout history have continually rejected, ignored, and denied Christ. Positively, the Holy Spirit wants the second person of the Godhead to come back because the Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, 14 says, He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So basically, Sunday evening in a nutshell, we dealt with the first instance of the word in quotes, come, there in verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say come, in 22:17, the last great invitation in the Bible. Tonight, we attempt to deal with the second use of the exclamatory word there in quotes, come. It signals a change in perspective. Let's look at it and read it together. The Spirit of the bride say, come, that was Sunday night, tonight is, and let the one who hears say, come. Do you see it there? Let the one who hears say, come. It invites those who hear the Spirit and the bride to join with them in calling for Christ's return. Now, obviously, keen sense of the obvious, they cannot come to Christ until they come to faith in Christ. Only the redeemed can truly long for Him to appear. But the implicit warning is not to be like those who, having ears, do not hear. Having ears, do not hear. And boy, we can read about that over and over again in the Word of God. New Testament, Old Testament, Gospels, Prophets, Wisdom Literature. Over and over again, we hear that. Having ears, and yet they do not hear. The one who hears with faith and believes is the one who will be saved. The Word of God reads in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Now, hearing is often associated with what in Scripture? What is hearing often associated with in Scripture? Anybody? Anybody? Well, you could say wisdom. But how about obedience? Obedience, right? Those who hear and obey the gospel will join with the Spirit and the bride in calling for the return of Jesus Christ because they desire His glory and their own deliverance from sin's presence so as to enter the realm of perfect holiness. The one who hears is further defined as the one who is thirsty, verse 17, and let the one who is thirsty come, all right? Thirst is a familiar biblical metaphor picturing the strong sense of spiritual need that is a prerequisite for repentance. In Isaiah, God calls everyone who thirsts to come to the waters of salvation. The reference is Isaiah 55:1, and it reads this, Ho! Exclamation, Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Matthew 5:6, you're very familiar with this one. We've been preaching through Matthew for quite some time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Word of God says, for they shall be satisfied. John 7:37 continues the theme. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And then earlier in Revelation, John promised in 21 verse 6, if you want to look back to chapter 21 verse 6, then he said to me, it is done, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Adding another dimension to the invitation, the last great invitation of the Bible, John writes this in the second half of verse 17. He says, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And what can we say about all that? We can say it's an unlimited invitation. It is a typical, broad, sweeping, gracious offer of salvation made at the very end of the Bible because that's the kind of God we serve. Broad. I mean sweeping. One more chunk of grace out there. Come on, right? We also see that salvation involves both God's sovereign choice, His sovereign choice, and human volition. Humanity's willful choice. That is a mystery to me, where those two intersect, how those two work. I am chosen, but yet somehow I am free to choose salvation. My finite mind cannot handle that. I think about that and the smoke just begins to pour out of my ears. I'm chosen, but yet I'm free to choose. How does that work? Some groups, they focus on one side or the other. The Calvinists, I love them. They focus on the sovereignty of God. And then you've got the Arminian camp. They focus on man's free will. I've been trying for the last 28 years. Can't we just all get along? It's not an either or. It's not an either or, boys. It's a both and. They say, but yeah, that makes my head hurt. And I say, welcome to the party. Yeah, my head's been hurting a long time thinking about it. Amen? You feeling it tonight? Look at that passage. Let the one who wishes. You see your volition? You see your humanity there? You see the free will that God has created in you? Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Amen? Still with me? Yes? God saves sinners, but He only saves those who recognize their need, who recognize their thirst, and choose to repent. The water of life, or the washing of regeneration, per Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it's offered without cost. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's by grace. That's what we read in the major prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 1. That's what we read in that verse. It is offered with no cost to the sinner because Jesus paid the price for it through His sacrificial what, church? Sacrificial death, right? On the cross in the shedding of His what? His blood, correct? Amen? Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So God what? God freely offers the water of life to those whose hearts are thirsty for forgiveness, whose minds are thirsty for truth, and whose souls are thirsty for Him. Friend, if that's how you get saved, praise the Lord, you got saved that way. Amen? Because that's how people come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Surrounding the invitation in verse 17 are four incentives for sinners to accept His salvation. Now, we're going to begin that first incentive tonight, kind of as we close out our Bible study this evening, but we just say it like this. You know, point number one was the last great invitation. That's verse 17. And then we basically say it like this. We say, the great gracious motivator, the great gracious motivator gives incentives. He gives incentives. Now, the incentives are found in verses 13 through 16 and verses 18 through 21. So we'll look at verses 13 and 16 tonight. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you, these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The first reason for sinners to accept God's final invitation is because it comes personally from the exalted, majestic, glorious Lord Jesus Christ. That should really be enough incentive right there. Amen? The Lord's threefold identification of Himself repeats the same truth for emphasis. He just keeps hammering the point here as He goes through these closing verses, as John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's threefold identification keeps repeating the same truth for emphasis. Since the original readers of Revelation spoke Greek, Jesus identifies Himself first as the Alpha and the Omega. He did it in chapter 1, verse 8 of Revelation. He did it in 21:6 that we just read of Revelation. And He does it again here. Alpha and Omega are respectively the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. These letters are combined together with the parallel phrase, the first and the last from Revelation 1:17. Revelation 1:17, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last." When Jesus uses this kind of language to describe himself, he's saying that he is the beginning or source of all things, and likewise, he is the end or the goal of all things. Now, we tend to be a goal-oriented people. We tend to every, you know, January, try to make some goals for the coming year. We think about our lives as people, and we've got educational goals, and we've got career goals, and we've got family goals, and we've got marriage goals, and all that. I'm looking forward, really, to the time when we get to the end, and the goal's been met. Ain't no more goals. I'm just going to rest in Jesus, amen? I'm just going to rest in Jesus for a couple of millennia, right? And then if we would need to talk about what we need to do about sweeping the streets of gold or taking care of this or that on a far-flung galaxy, then I'm all in, amen? But it will be great one day to have the goals met, amen? Because he is the end, friend, or the goal of all things. Basically, Christ is communicating his infinity. Christ is communicating his eternity. He's communicating his boundless life, how he transcends everything without any limitations. So this threefold description describes the completeness, the timelessness, and sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The description of Jesus Christ is also a statement of his deity. Now, obviously there can be only one Alpha and one Omega. There can only be one first and one last, one beginning and one end. And you're saying, well, preacher, yeah, that's God. But in 1:8, chapter 1, verse 8, God says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." 21:6 describes him as the beginning and the end. Isaiah 44:6, God declares, "I am the first and the last." So basically, we have all three titles which can apply only to God and are used here of Jesus Christ, which offers convincing testimony that Jesus is, in fact, God. Amen? His deity. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he's not a created being. What are you saying? I'm saying he's not merely a great prophet. Can you elaborate? No, he's more than a great moral teacher, Jesus is. He's not a misguided martyr. No, Jesus is God, the Son, the second person of the eternal Trinity. So salvation in Jesus Christ is then the theme of the scripture that we've been studying. Salvation in Jesus Christ is the theme of the rest of the book of the Bible. We'll end with this. I'll just give you a few things here. In the Old Testament, all the way back to the book of Genesis, that big old boat or ship or barge, whatever you want to call it, that was made out of gopher wood. Took 100 years to build. Yeah. Noah and his family got in that thing, right? God sealed the doors. And then the rain came. 40 days and what? 40 nights. Yeah. They were saved from the flood, weren't they? Amen. That ark is a picture of what? Jesus. Amen. The Passover lamb for the Israelites, the Jews, were to leave Egypt. That's a picture of Jesus. The kinsman redeemer, picture of Jesus. All throughout the Bible are pictures, Christ types, illustrations, descriptions of salvation for this person or that group or whatever, they all point to Jesus. Because Jesus, salvation in him, is the theme of Scripture. What's the point? What are you finally trying to say tonight? I'm finally trying to say that I probably just could have said at the beginning, had a word of prayer and gone home. Jesus offers lost humanity his greatest gift. If only they will receive it. Amen? Let's close it out. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, as we go through these ending verses tonight. We talk about how it's a full circle ending. It all comes back around to you. It really is all about you, Jesus. It seeks to bring glory and honor to your name. The book, Revelation, the book, the Bible, it all points to you. Lord, we're thankful that we have realized that previously in our lives, and we have come full circle with our need to repent and our need to receive you as our personal Lord and Savior. But there are still others out there that have not come to that point. Some have hardened their hearts. Some are in the process of hardening their hearts. Some have not even heard yet who you are and what you can do for them. Lord, we pray for those that have a hard heart, that you would yank down the walls of opposition to the gospel. We pray for those, Lord, that are in the process of hardening their hearts, that you would put them on a path of turning from that and coming back to being open to the gospel. And then, Lord, for those that have never heard, we pray that they would have an opportunity to hear. And, Lord, you might use one of us. You might use your Awana program. You might use your Christian school. You might use your church. You might use your Sunday school. You might use anything and everything that you see fit to use. May we be available to be used by you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. Online, folks, we'll see you next time.